The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 454. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Joining me this time out is an individual who was last on the show in June of 2022. At that time, he had quite an interesting project in the works, and he actually had a cool nickname, which now is his actual business name, if you will. I'm talking about the man they call Raw. Now, Raw was on, as I said, on episode 336, talking about Rebel Roach versus Rocket Punch Susie, and we're going to get an update on that project in our conversation, as well as we're going to hear about Oxblood. And so many other projects that Raw has going on. He is truly a busy, busy individual. But we're going to talk about all those things as well as his ties to C3, the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. He's going to talk about the submission that he turned in for the anthology that C3 put out this past summer, August, September time. And yeah, this is going to be another one of those live streams that I was happy to participate in. For C3 when they were heavily promoting that anthology. And, you know, I hope you enjoy this episode. There's only a few more left. We have a few more great independent comic creators from these live streams that are going to be featured on the PVD Cast. So with that, though, I'm not going to waste much more time. I got to take care of some business first, and then we're going to get into the conversation between Raw and I. And, of course, when I talk about business, I'm talking about thanking a great sponsor of this podcast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. The store is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They got tons of single issues, collections, graphic novels, back issues. I mean, they've got comics from the golden, silver, bronze, and modern era. They even have comic book supplies if you need some of those, various different collectibles. I mean, it is an awesome store, and you need to check it out. So once again, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WGComics. And once again, I want to thank World's Greatest Comics for their support throughout the years. And it means a lot to me. And words can't do it justice. So I'm just going to say thanks again to World's Greatest Comics. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with a man called Raw. Everybody, I hope you're having a great Tuesday evening. For a moment there, I stuttered because I thought, is it really Tuesday or is it Monday? Because I've totally lost track of what day of the week it is. But nonetheless, it is Tuesday. I am here to do another great live stream for C3. And the gentleman that's joining me, well, he's simply got one name. It makes it very easy for you to remember him. Let's bring him on over here. Let's say hello, ladies and gentlemen, to Raw. How you doing, man?
What's up? How are you, Mr. John Orlando?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. You know, I got to be honest. This always happens. I was like doing the research. I'm like, when was he on? I know he was on the PVD, guys. I remember because I met him at the CXC opener. You know,
and I'm like, think about that. And I was like, was it 2 years? Is it 3 years? I don't know.
It's two.
Yep, okay. June 16th, 2022. But it seemed like in my mind, I was thinking it was like 2023. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, it was just the other day. You know, now it's 2 years. So, I mean, aging sucks.
Yeah, dude, time. It's a thing.
it's a thing that does not let you have any leeway, man. No leeway whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, well, how you been?
Pretty good. Busy for once. It's weird. This is like my first busy year as like a dude making comics.
Okay. And we're going to talk about those comics, but we want to go ahead and kick things off to talk about C3. And so, Raw, I got to ask you, how did you get involved in this great organization?
So it was Fanboy Expo, I think it was 2022 in Columbus. It was my first time tabling at an event ever. And I just walked up and down Artist Alley and was meeting people. And I think it was Columbus Scribbler, Jack
Wallace.
Jack Wallace. He was like, oh, you're from Columbus. Like, let me introduce you to everybody. He just knew who everybody was that was tabling at that event. And if they weren't in my vicinity for like me to go walk over, he would like send them to me, which was really, really nice. Then he introduced me to JM Hunter. And then that's when they were talking about C3. And I was like, this is great. This is like what my life has been missing pretty much.
Well, I got to ask real quick, was Fanboy Expo, how do I want to put this?
Good? No.
Ross just rips the Band-Aid off. He's like, to heck with this, man. We're just ripping that Band-Aid off, John. We don't have to be polite.
I mean, it was a good – for me, but I didn't know what I was doing. It was my first thing. But I still had a lot of fun, and I met a lot of really cool people. So in that sense, it was good. Trying to make money selling art, no. But if I would have been a fan there just with a ticket in my hand ready to spend money, I would have loved it. But – I'm pretty easy to please with cons. Just give me nerdy stuff and let me go blow money.
I just remember because I was there. I got press passes and I went down Friday and it was not happening. And then Saturday, well, it was happening a little bit. And then Sunday, it was not happening again. And I was like, wow, okay. So, small world that we met at that con.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get back to C3, though. So tell us a little bit about the contribution that you made for the anthology C stands for.
All right. So mine is C is for cursed. I wasn't going to sign up for this. I already had some stuff on my plate and was like, I can't do another anthology thing. But I dreamt this comic. Like I had a very vivid dream, and the weird thing was it wasn't a dream like that was real. It was like a comic style dream, like all the bright colors, the imagery, everything, the main character. So as soon as I woke up, I dreamt the last two pages of the book, and I just woke up like, that was really cool, I need to draw this. And then at this point I still wasn't going to do it for the anthology, but I was just kind of like, let me see where it goes. And then I came up with the concept C is for cursed. I was like, oh, it's going to be about a curse. It's going to be this gothic horror fantasy adventure. And then it wound up, when I wrote it, it wound up being 8 pages. And I was like, okay, I have to draw this. I'm going to draw this. And then I signed up. And yeah, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just a knight going on a quest to find a missing priest. And when he shows up to this village, there's a lot of blood. There's some body parts and there's a vampire showdown at the end. It's just
okay.
Me flexing with art, style over substance, but still trying to make a really cool story and do some world building things.
You know what? Can we talk about your art style? Because, you know, checking out your IG, which we'll put that up here in a minute in the stream. How would you describe it for somebody that's never checked it out yet?
Man, hyper stylized, vibrant, cartoony, kinetic, and I try to make it feel very cinematic, like stills from like an animated movie.
Where did you pick up your skills? Were you a CCAD guy, or were you OSU, or did you go somewhere else?
I went to the School of the Hard Knocks. I just figured it out. I've always drawn since like first or second grade. I went to a lot of schools, and like the one mainstay of every school I went to as a kid was like recess. Like no matter how different the kids were in whatever state I was, recess was like the golden standard. Everybody loved it. And there was one school I went to where these kids didn't go outside during recess. And at first I was like, are these kids sick or something? Are they like, what's wrong? Are they in trouble? And I asked them, I was like, you guys never go outside. Like, yeah, the teacher let us have a comic book club. I was like, what's comic books? What? And they're like, yeah, we draw comics. We come up with our own characters. And I was like, what is this? And that's just, I've kind of been obsessed with art and drawing ever since then. And just, I guess, ripping off my heroes. anything I think looks cool, I'm like, I'm going to try and do that. But I think I've done it enough. My stuff just looks like its own thing at this point.
Okay. See, I didn't know that you were kind of self-taught, if I can use that term without being offensive. I don't, you know, no, I mean, all due respect. Yeah, I did not know that. I thought that you had mentioned before when we talked that you went somewhere, but you know, I'm glad that we have this time to clarify that.
So. Yeah, no, I did go to school for graphic design, and then
okay,
it turned into visual communications. The school changed the course or whatever, so it was like this all-encompassing, like I was taking like fine art classes and photography, videography, stuff like that, so I got all that stuff in there, I guess.
Okay, all right. Hey, when you have knowledge, you're a dangerous person.
Yeah
Well, let's talk a little bit about your experiences with C3. Obviously lots of people have lots of great things to say about this organization, and that's great, because definitely C3 is doing a great job of promoting and helping independent creators. So what are your thoughts on the organization?
I mean, it's amazing. Like my whole life, I'm 40. My whole life I've wanted to make comics, and it was always this thing on the back burner, and I never had like a good support group for it, or I didn't know any people in real life that were into this stuff. I had friends that read comics or collected them, but I didn't have any friends that were artists or writers or anything. So I joined some other online communities, and it was like, meh. But when I moved to Columbus and found this, it was like, these are people I can like actually go hang out with. Like we can go to a coffee shop and draw and give input. It's amazing. And there's people of all skill levels. And they share tables, which is great. So like I got to table at Laughing Ogre Free Comic Book Day, I think last year, the year before. Not something I would have even thought about being able to do on my own. Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot of resources and a lot of support. Like everybody's trying to lift each other up. It's a cool place.
Well, let's talk about the anthology. It is currently going on Crowdfunder. And the tiers are a little bit different. If somebody that's not familiar with the art world, you might think of, oh, everything's like Kickstarter, you know, with the perks and that. Well, this one's a little bit different. So let me run that down for you. It's basically each one of the tiers is about a page rate. So for right now, everyone has gotten $5 because we have had some great donations. But the next tier that we want to get to, and we might be there, I have to be honest with you, unfortunately our producer Sydney is not here tonight, but I did not get a chance to chat with her to find out if we've reached that $950 mark. We were so close, Rob. We were so close. Very the other
close.
Day
so close. I can almost taste that page rate going up.
That's right, that page rate does go up to $10. If we can raise up to $1,550, then everyone gets their page rate to $15. And anything over that amount, over $1,550, $20, that's going to be the page rate. And look, folks, I've kind of thrown down the gauntlet, I believe, a few live chats ago or live streams ago, where I said, you need to do this. We need to make this happen. Come on, we can do this. By the end of this campaign, which is next Monday, the 26th, we want to be at $15.52. How about that? $2 over the limit. What do you say, Rob? Do you think that's reasonable?
Easy peasy.
Easy. Yeah. So you want to know more? See below. See the crawl down there, the tinyurl.com/C stands for. That will get you all right on over to the page. You'll get all the information that you need. And again, like, this goes to the local artists, the local creators. C3 is not taking any money. No, they're giving it all back to the artists, the creators, and whatnot. Nobody's holding any money back. There's no scheme here or anything like that. It's going to go help for table fees, for workshops, for supplies. It takes cash to get things going. I mean, you, no matter what your endeavor is, it takes cash to get started, right?
It ain't cheap.
No, it's not. So definitely check out the crowdfunder. As I said, I pointed, it's right down below. And by the way, if you're also interested in C3, here's the Discord. They would love to hear from you. If you're somebody that's new to the area, you didn't know that C3 existed, here you go. Here you go. It's no longer, it's not a secret. It's out there for everybody to enjoy. So there's the Discord link as well. And so, Raw, let's talk a little bit about some of your new projects, because last June or 2 Junes ago, on June 2022, on episode 336 of the PVD cast, you were working on a project called Rebel Roach versus Rocket Punch Susie.
Yeah, man. So here it is.
Okay.
So we got two covers. So this was a collaboration with me and my uncle. So this is my cover. Here's his. His that like 90s crazy style, super detailed. I'm like the cartoony stuff. This started as a battle, a comic battle on the online site Enervoid.com, where you come up with a character and you pit your character against somebody else's. So it's like art fights. And we decided to take our little battle, my character versus his, and do a little one-off comic. It's pretty cool, pretty fun. My character's a girl who she orders a jetpack online, and instead of a jetpack, this giant glove comes, and she doesn't get it, doesn't know what it's for, has very specific instructions, which she immediately crumbles up and throws away, and decides she's going to go get revenge and find out who sent this to her, and she wants her money back. And on the way, she encounters this 17-year-old kid who's inside this giant roach body, and they duke it out, and stuff happens.
So is there any future plans for some more tales of Rebel Roach?
So I'm going to do – I actually put on the back burner. I was doing a retelling of Susie's origin or whatever. So Rebel Roach is my uncle's character. I think he's doing something with him. And then as for Susie, I was working on a 6-issue miniseries, and the plan was to pitch it. But then I kind of studied the market and business of making and selling comics and decided to pivot. So I think I'm going to pitch a young adult graphic novel, something that has more like mass appeal right out the get-go, as opposed to like a monthly miniseries. Just going into comic shops. But yes, there is more Susie planned.
Is your uncle, I don't know if we talked about him or not when you were on the show before. But your uncle has a kind of a background in art?
Yeah, so he, I believe he went to school for art, and him and my dad used to make comics back in the day. My dad passed a few years ago, but my uncle, it was one of those things he kind of put on the back burner, and he's retired now, so he's like, maybe I'll pick the dream up again and start doing stuff. So right now he's doing a mini comic for a band out of California that they're going to give out at their shows, like a little pamphlet. Because they do like very, I don't know how to describe it. It's like the music tells a story about like fictional characters all set in this fictional world. So my uncle wrote and did this little story that fleshes all that out and all the characters and stuff.
You know what? That's awesome. That is just amazing. I mean, because your uncle set the dream aside for a while, and I suppose had a regular 9-to-5, and after wrapping that up. That is fantastic. I love hearing that because I think that I don't know. I just have this weird kind of hang up when it comes to people that limit themselves because of their age. And it just like, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Like there's
never understood it.
No, I mean, I don't get it. I can't go back to school. Why not? Well, I'm 55. Okay. So, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't write this comic. No, you can. You can. It doesn't matter your age. Just do it. I don't know. It's always puzzled me. And I think it's because of the way I was raised, you know, where that was seen as an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if I don't do this stuff, I'm just going to have a bunch of regrets. So I have to.
No. Most definitely. I can respect that as well. You don't want to be the old guy at the old folks home. Oh, I should have wrote this comic book.
Yeah.
Well, you've also done a lot with Negative Space comics, and they have a lot of different competitions and whatnot. So how'd you get involved with that that company, if you will?
I was somebody I follow on social media posted it was like a link to a podcast talking about it. And I'm not like a big podcast guy, but whatever way they shared it really piqued my interest. They're just like, listen to this podcast with the founders of this new comic writing contest who are like trying to change the game of what these contests are and make it so you actually get something out of it, even if you don't win. And so I listened to the podcast, and it was like I don't know if it's a husband and wife, but they're a couple. They wrote for television, and they themselves had entered a bunch of screenwriting contests. And you pay these big fees for these contests, and if you don't win, you don't hear anything. They just ghost you. They're like, "Oh, you didn't win. See ya." And they wanted to do something a little different, where you can pay a little extra and have their team like review your script. And they'll give it back with notes. So that was the only reason I did this, was to give myself a deadline, because it was hard for me to finish things that, for me, if it's for somebody else, I'll finish it. No questions asked. But like my stuff, I like take forever with it. So I was like, all right, I have a deadline. I've already paid. So worst case, like I get feedback, and then I won, which I didn't think was going to happen at all, like by a long shot. But I'm glad I did. It was really valuable. It just changed the way I think about the industry a lot more than just making stuff. I'm like trying to figure out how to navigate it as a career for myself, because this is what I want to do.
Well, that's cool. I think that's a really cool part about that, is that you're learning something. You take something away. I'm sure that they gave you notes about like this needed to be fixed or that could be fixed or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And you know, without a second set of eyes, for some folks, you know, you just believe whatever you put down on paper is what's good.
Yeah. And there's like, it's tough because you almost get of two minds of it. You're like, okay, I want this to be the truest expression of myself, and whatever it is, I put it out there and that's what it is. But me, like, I was a freelance graphic designer, and January, my last contract ran out. So I'm all in on comics. I need to make this work. I'm hungry for this. So I'm like, I need any input, anybody who knows the market better than I do, who can help make my stuff cohesive, make sense, stand out, because I'm very competitive. So when I come out with something, I want it to be good, successful. I don't want it to just fall and make no noise.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another one of those projects, because I believe that you talked a little bit about this when we spoke, but let's hear about Oxblood, the Untold Legend of Paul Bunyan.
Yes, I have a little, so I put these little zines together for it that I sell. It's like little lore zines. how to explain this? It is high fantasy meets the early American frontier. So you have Paul Bunyan fighting giant monsters in the American frontier. We have Johnny Appleseed, who's like this mystic dryad that can lift the earth beneath his feet and sort of surf on it like Iceman. And then there's Brother Rabbit. She is the king of a band of orphan pickpockets. and she's unknowingly possessed by a trickster god. And they're out to save Paul's wife from a dragon. He's the only one that thinks there's a dragon. Nobody else believes him. So that was something I was working on, and I was really on the fence of, do I do this as a comic, or do I want to pitch this as an animated project? Because I had a friend, he owns a toy company, and I'd written some stuff for him for animated projects that he's pitched, and I help him develop like the pitch decks that he would go to meetings with like Warner Brothers and stuff with. And I was really like leaning towards animation, and this was like 2 or 3 years ago, and he was like, don't do it, man. Like, the animation industry in the next few years is going to be really depressing. And now we're where we are. And I don't know if you're aware, animation's in a really bad way. A lot of people are losing jobs left and right. Shows don't last. They barely get picked up. So he definitely called it. So now I'm kind of re-looking to do something more with this as maybe like a 12-issue run.
I'm going to go back to what you just said a few minutes ago. I had heard that the animation industry was kind of unstable, but I never read or was told or anything. Why is that? What's the cause of this uncertainty and instability?
A lot of it's wages. A lot of people, you know, these kids grow up wanting to make like their dream projects, and then they get into it and they might be a concept artist or storyboard artist, and they realize the pay is kind of unlivable. Like, you have to live in like a big city for the most part, and the wages don't support that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of companies, they've been canceling projects the past few years and just not showing them, like Discovery Media, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They were kind of putting stuff in the vault for tax write-off purposes. So yeah, it's tough. And one thing I heard was a lot of the streaming services now, they don't want to pick up a show and keep it going. They just want to have a good season one to have something to hype up, because more people are into season ones. So once your dream project gets picked up, it might not get renewed. So there's a lot of, I don't know, a lot of mistrust with animators in the industry right now.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. That's real interesting, especially that part about, you know, only one season for like streamers.
Yeah, it's really sad. Like, I follow Rad Seacrest. He created Kipo and the Tales of the Wonder Beasts on Netflix. It was
a
phenomenal show, but he's very open about it. And he's like, Netflix is pretty much like, your show's too cool. It's too cool for what we want. Like, we're not going to do any more seasons. So now he's doing his own stuff. And that seems, independent animation seems to be taken off. Like, stuff like Has Been Hotel that got picked up on Amazon. I'm a big animation nerd. I could talk about this crap forever.
Well, yeah, just like I said, I had read just that simple statement, as I said, you know, that things were a little bit, you know, unstable in that world. And I don't know, I guess I just kind of never thought about, especially streamers doing it. That blows my mind. I still can't wrap my mind around it, because you would think you would want that brand notoriety and you would want fans to continue to tune in and watch, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's a different market. It's so weird now. And a lot of old stuff hinged on toys. And like, we don't have Toys R Us anymore. We don't have KB Toy Store anymore. So
that's true.
It's just totally different game.
That's very true. Cause in the 80s, in 90s, it was all about, we have toys, now we have the cartoon.
Yeah.
And they go hand in hand. Yeah, I never thought about that. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Raw for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. So check out the store in person by going over to 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you could check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. All right. Well, let's talk about a couple more quick questions here for you, Ra. Who or what inspires you?
Everything, man. life, ancient temples, the fungal network underground, space, everything.
Okay, how about this? Is there a creator, a writer, or an artist that you just admire the heck out of their work?
So many. Honestly, anybody who does their thing their way, unquestionably. Love Hayao Miyazaki. I follow a lot of like concept artists. So there's a dude I'm really into, Benjamin Paulus. He does like comics, and I think, I don't know if his background's like graphic design or whatever, but he just has this crazy style. Everything about it is just so different. It's just neat. Yeah, anything with a cool, weird style that doesn't look like everything else, I'm usually going to be pretty heavy into.
Okay, gotcha. Well, going back to talking about C stands for a minute, I'm going to put you on the spot. How about you give us your pitch for why people need to check out this anthology?
Oh, man, this is like getting on the ground floor of, you know, the future who's who of Columbus comic artists. I feel like this is like getting a band's demo before.
Oh, yes.
There's just a lot of cool stuff. It's diverse, a lot of different types of stories, a lot of different types of art. And I don't know, I feel like everybody's giving it their all, so you won't be disappointed.
I love that analogy. It's like a demo tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of the back of a trunk of a car, too. That's the exactly. way. Sydney, you need to get an old beat up Oldsmobile and we'll just put all the anthologies in the trunk and we'll go around town. Pop in
the trunk. We'll tailgate.
Yeah, there you go. Tailgate during an OSU game. There you go. Hey, guys, come here. I pop the trunk. There you go.
Got something you might be into.
Yeah, until we have to explain to the cops what we're doing and then it all falls apart. Anyways, okay. I don't know. How many years have you been here in Ohio? 3 or 4?
I think it's going on 4.
It's going on 4? Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to ask you, why is Ohio a great place for independent creators? What do you think, in your opinion?
It's not so much the place. There's so many already here. If you took all the creators here out of Ohio, it would be nothing. There's seriously so many people doing really cool stuff here. And they're so accessible. You just reach out to people on Instagram or, you know, there's Space, there's CXC, there's C3. There's just a lot of people and everybody's very willing to support each other. Like everybody's kind of rallying. It feels like a movement. I don't know. Maybe I have like some very optimistic hope glasses on, but I feel like in the next few years, people are going to talk about this point in time in Columbus. For comics. Fingers crossed. We'll see.
I think we're not going to have to wish on a star too much. I think that feels true. So, all right. I got to run down the crowdfunder real quick before we talk about future projects and social media and whatnot. So give me a moment here to remind those folks that are watching that you have just 1 week remaining in the crowdfunder campaign. It is, again, as my finger shows you, as it points down to where the link is. There, some Charlie Chaplin-like fingers there. again, everyone's gotten their $5 page rate, but we want to get that higher. So if we can get $950, everybody's getting $10. If we can get $1,550 raised, then everyone's getting $15. Anything over $1,550, we're getting $20. All this money's going right back to the creators, all right? So whatever they need, they can use this money to do that, whether it's tabling fees or it's materials or it's workshops or it's to get some advertising, maybe printing. I can sit here and go on and on and on, but just trust me, there's a lot of things that go into creating comics, creating art that definitely... It's not cheap. As you heard Ross say, it's not cheap at all. So again, check it out. It's scrolling right down here again at tinyurl.com/C stands for. Get the anthology. Help out folks like Raw, like Kelsey, like Robert, like Jeremy, like all the people that I've sat and chatted with over the last few weeks. Do it. Just do it. I know I just stole Nike's catchphrase, but just you know.
I feel like we should have got like Sarah McLachlan and just like have us all really sad. It's like, we can support a comic artist in need. We're all just like, it's black and white and we're just drawing really sad.
Drawing outside with a coat over your shoulders like you're freezing. And yeah, yeah, uh-huh. You could like be inside like a coffee shop handing your zines, and then the person like bats them out of your hand. Yeah.
Throwing. Yeah.
Sad music in the background. That, yeah, man. Darn it. This was a good idea.
Next anthology. That's what's going down.
All right. Well, let's talk about future projects you have on the docket. So is there anything you'd like to talk about real quick or let the folks know about?
Yeah. So I just came out with Raw Meat number one. I only got a small handful of these printed because printing's expensive. But this is a collection of stuff I've done for other anthologies. There's three stories in here. It's kind of like a diary of my first comics. And then in the back, I kind of show concept art and a little explanations behind each one. So I'll have these for sale at the Midtown Comic Expo in September and also at CXC. And then once they're gone, I don't know if I'm going to get any more. So get them while you can. And then I'm coloring a book by another local Columbus dude, Alex Clark, issue number two of his book. And I'm just blanking on the title, Lost in the Shuffle. It's a really cool crime action adventure buddy road trip story. It's okay. two dudes on the run from the mob and the cops. So he's having me color the second issue, and he's kind of just letting me do my thing and go nuts. So hopefully I don't let him down. It's looking cool so far. So that'll be coming out whenever he's done with pages, maybe end of this year, early next year. And then I'm doing a book, a small story for Jack Wallace that'll be in a future anthology about a girl whose poop comes to life and goes on a murderous rampage. that one's been really fun. I kind of did some different stuff with the art. I'm going like full like Invader Zim, Johnny the Homicidal Maniac style art. Okay. And then my two big things that I've been working on before all this stuff kind of piled up was I'm doing this is my character Detective Kringle. So I finished the first issue, writing the first issue of a 3-issue Detective Kringle caper. It's basically a Christmas carol or Christmas carol with like all the ghosts come visit. Mm-hmm. But they're helping him solve a murder. But they show up at very inconvenient times and they're very antagonistic towards him. and then the other thing I'm working on, this is the pitch. I'm going to try and do a children's pitch, like middle grade. It's called Tag and Quest. So it's like a magical fantasy adventure based on graffiti. So it's these three kids kind of travel across the land and they have to reseal these graffiti seals that are keeping evil from seeping into their world. And it's about this main kid who just does not want to do this. Like he thinks it's the dumbest thing. He just wants to draw and make goofy cartoons and he doesn't treat graffiti magic seriously. So he has to team up with these two older kids who kind of look down on him and he kind of learns to hone his abilities and how he can make it his own sort of thing and save the world.
You are one busy individual.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm doing one more. It's another negative space winner or runner up. Narges. I don't know how to say their name. I feel really bad. It's either Narges or Narges Runyon. They wrote a story for an anthology that will be on Kickstarter later this year called Let Us In. And it's an anthology about the hardships of trying to break into the American comic book industry, not being from America or living in. So they did this kind of silly, like high fantasy story about this little critter who races to a convention on like a hover bike and has to fight all these other guys trying to get to the convention to get their names known. So that I think that Kickstarter goes live in November. and I'm doing a 6-page story for that.
Any others? you are busy, dude.
First year, so Alex reached out to me about coloring his book, and I was like, yeah, cool. I had my stuff going on, but I was like, I'll put that on the back burner. And then Jack Wallace reached out, and I was like, I'll level up my skills. That'll be fun. And then this came out, and I thought the deadline was September 1st, and it was August 1st. I'm still finishing my pages. Sorry, Sydney, I'm almost done. So everything just piled, but I think I work best under pressure. Forces me to power.
All right. Where can folks find you on the internet?
Instagram, raw.comics with an X. I'm also on Twitter. I barely use it, but I'm Rebel Art Warrior on Twitter.
Okay. I refuse to call it X. I've decided after this weekend talking to some other podcasters who are like, yeah, I'm not giving him, Elon, I'm not giving him the satisfaction of hearing me say, oh, I'm on X.
It's Twitter.
It's Twitter. Yeah, because Twitter handle, tweets, I'm used to it. So
good. He mucked it. He mucked it right up.
Yeah. Goofy Elon. Anyways. That's for another show. Anyways, once again, Roth, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me, man. It's been fun.
Thank you. And thank you for doing these. These have all been awesome. They keep me company while I draw. I've been watching everybody else's. We're lucky to have you. These have been really
cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right. With that, then we're going to go ahead and – oh, wait. Well, last minute, Tom Williams sliding in one final comment real quick. Oh. Or in this case, one comment. He says he likes to call it Twix, not Twitter.
Twix.
Tom, tip of the hat, sir. That's a good one. I like that. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for watching. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Raw, talking about all of his various projects, as well as his experiences with C3, his philosophy on making comics, his inspirations, etc., etc. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation, because I certainly enjoyed sitting down and chatting with Raw, and I want to thank him for taking time out of his busy schedule to sit down and to talk with me. It's now time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode, or any episode for that matter. You can find me over on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And if you want to email me, well, you could do that too. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. Maybe you want to let some folks know about the show. Well, there's three different avenues where they can hear it. The first is over at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, where every single new episode drops every Thursday, and plenty of episodes in the back catalog as well. Of course, you can use your favorite podcasting app. All you have to do is go into the actual app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it, and you should find it. And while we're on that topic of those apps, let's just make sure that we rate and review, because it helps me out in the algorithm. And subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's one final way that you can check out the show, and that is every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast through the Facebook page of the PVDcast, and you can check it out there as well. So there you have three options. I'm going to run them down for you one more time. PVDcast.com, your favorite podcasting app or outlet, and of course, the Facebook page @PVDcast every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy.
following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.